Well, we're going to start off in the King James. Actually, just Tim's going to turn there, so we won't go there. But this is one we've memorized anyways. Mm-hmm. Psalms 118:1.
What is that?
What we're going to use, there's what Dad has explained, there's a vulgar usage. That means it's how people are using it. And then there's an actual usage of a word, the meaning. And Tim, if you could read this, the King James, just Psalms 118:1.
Okay. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever.
And today, there's not a right or wrong, but how is mercy used? You guys ever play the game Mercy? Mm-hmm. You ever play the hand game Mercy? What's that mean? I give up. Uncle! What else is mercy? Just
have mercy on someone.
Have mercy. What would that mean?
That would be like...
Does that mean they deserve it?
Not exactly.
Okay. I think that's, and actually that's how it's used, to be somebody that doesn't even deserve it. I'm gonna, actually you're teaching with Paul, and here's the prison guys, for to lead them into salvation, that's actually the vulgar usage of mercy. That's not what Yahweh's word says. That's actually the Hebrew word, hesed. Okay, the word we're teaching, but before we go there, if you look at the etymology of the word mercy, it gives you the original meaning. One of them is, we found this out today, is reward.
Okay. That's Latin.
Yeah. In the Latin. Okay, is reward anything like that word we just discussed?
No.
Read that same psalm, but instead of saying mercy, say reward. Let's see if it changes the meaning.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his, what'd you say?
Reward.
Reward endureth forever.
Did that change the meaning?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's not like what the teaching is on, but even when you go back and you look at the word hesed, you'll see a lot of people are going to translate it mercy, which actually before Dad looked into that today, it looked like they were mistranslating the word hesed, and it wasn't. It was just the vulgar usage. What does mercy mean? You find reward. Reward? That's good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Hey, anyways, it's just a good example of being seeking, being asking. And the other thing with Melania's prophecy, I got a lot of these things. Did you guys see how your tongues interpretation were very similar about the adversary? Now, obviously, there's somebody that needs it, that is on a line with the adversary. And how neat is that in unison? And yours is right in line too. Your tongues or prophecy was with what I was listening to yesterday or Friday. And it was A New Life in Christ by John Shainhite. And they're saying, it's good for you. How many people here brush their teeth? Why?
Good for you.
Yeah, but you do it so often, if somebody asks you why you brush your teeth, you look at them like they're crazy, right?
Yeah.
But do you do it because it's fun? Do you do it because you got a lot of time? Do you do it because you want to drink orange juice afterwards? So why do you do it? It's a good habit. So that's what we should be doing. Why do you do that? Why do you exercise? Why do you read the Word every day? It's good for you. But that was something else. It was on my heart, so that was right for me. Hesed, what we're going to first do is we're going to look at the word Hesed in the book Ruth. That'd be page 211. And I'm watching the time this time. Try not to get too excited. Start talking. Hard to shut me up. We'll turn to 211. I'm sorry, it's chapter 2. It's page 286 in the Rotherham. And this teaching, if you're not reading out of the Rotherham Bible, you're going to miss 90% of Yahweh's gems. What Rotherham's going to do is he's consistent. He is so faithful in so many areas that he will consistently translate the word hesed, loving kindness. And what's really good about the word loving kindness, does that word really mean anything today?
No.
No, not necessarily that to me. So what does that do? Get a question mark. What is this thing? Why do you keep saying it? Why is it so important? And he does the same thing with Sheol. He's going to say it's Hades. So you know this is always the same word. What he's actually doing is he's doing what a translator is supposed to be doing. Other people, when they're translating, if they see some things that Yahweh says that's not going to agree with the doctrines of them, they start changing. And Rotherham, for the most part, didn't. But because of Rotherham, we're going to get to see something really neat, especially with the book of Ruth. But it's going to be Hesed in Ruth's life. Let's see here. Let me get there. And it's going and it really changes the story, a lot of these stories. And it's gonna change some of Yahweh's promises. It doesn't change it, it changed our perspective. 286. In the book of Ruth, Ruth is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi had a husband named Elimelech. He had two sons. They both die. And after they die, the mother-in-law tells the daughters, you're free to go. And one of them decides she's going to stay. And her name's Ruth. She goes, where you go, I'll go. It's a really neat story. There's a lot of songs and stuff about that. But we're going to get to look at a whole other perspective on what's actually going on here. And Naomi says, I'm going to go back to my homeland. Right now, they're not in Israel. I forget where they were.
Moab.
Okay, thank you. They were in Moab. Why were they in Moab? Because there's no food in Israel. There's droughts because of the wickedness that Israel had turned from Yahweh. And okay, you don't want Yahweh, you don't got it. You can imagine if you start treating your grandfather bad when you go out to eat, pretty soon he's not going to be picking up the check anymore. I mean, that's just a small thing. And Yahweh was being mistreated, so they're in Moab trying to find food. Then it turns out Naomi finds out that there's food back in Israel. What does that mean? People must be turning back to Yahweh. And in verse 11, Esther, would you read that?
Uh-huh. And Boaz answered and said to her, it hath been told me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of
nativity,
and come unto the people whom thou knewest not aforetime.
So what happens is they come back to Israel. While they're in Israel, Yahweh has laws that the widows, I think the sojourners, they could glean in the corners of the fields when this is during harvest. And I guess this is right around Pentecost. So I guess this is read during Pentecost. Something like that. I read that today. But what the widows could do, what was their welfare? You guys can walk around in the corners and pick up the extra grain that's left there. Boaz comes back. And how neat is this? When Boaz comes walking back onto his farm, he goes, Yahweh be with you. Well, what a neat guy. What a neat introduction to this guy, Boaz. And they say, Yahweh is also with you. I mean, how neat is that? And even if we say, Yahweh be with you, and nobody knows what the heck we're talking about, he knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Who wrote this story?
Yahweh.
Yahweh did.
Yahweh.
I used to look at that and go, man, I wish I lived when Boaz was there, when people would say that. And then I was like, well, who said anybody else ever said that? He knows when we stick up for him. Anyways, Boaz looks and he sees this young girl. Boaz is an older man. He's a bachelor. And here she is. Who is this woman? And then Boaz gets to meet her, and he goes, I have heard about all that thou hast done for thy mother-in-law since the death of your husbands. It appears that this story is about Ruth and her mother-in-law. Right? Where you go, I'll go, and here she is taken care of, because there's and Naomi's a great woman too. But what we're going to find out is that I would like to do the whole teaching of Ruth, but for time's sake, we're going to keep reading on down. The story gets better and better. For most of us here, have read the book of Ruth a couple different times. You know, a lot of teachings. Just go down to verse 20. Who would like to read that for me? Thank you.
Then said Naomi to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Yahweh who hath not left off his loving kindness to the living and to the dead.
And the word loving kindness is chesed.
Chesed.
That's that word we're studying. And Naomi says, blessed be Yahweh who hath not left off his chesed to the living and who to the
dead.
Who's the dead? They're out of the picture, right?
Right.
No, they're not out of the picture. And Naomi is saying that Yahweh has chesed for the dead. Who is the dead person that we're discussing here?
Her sons.
It's actually Ruth's dead husband. And what we're going to find out is what Ruth is actually doing here is she is honoring her chesed for her dead husband. Why is she taking care of her mother-in-law? Because she made a commitment to her dead husband. Jesus Christ on the cross before he died. He looked. He says, "Behold, woman, thy son. Son, thy mother." What was he doing? He was taking care of his mom and saying, "You gotta take care of her. I'm leaving now." And what would happen there? There would have been chesed. Hey, there's a covenant, an agreement. And what happens here is, in this story, we're finding out that the dead person's still in the picture. And who was it? It's Naomi's husband. Dead husband. Why is Naomi here? Why is Naomi taking care of Ruth? What we're gonna find out was the dead husband. And so we read on. And so that's one of the first hints. We can see what's happening here. And the story gets better and better. Naomi finds out that Boaz, or she might have already known, that Boaz is a relative. So what? So what? We hear kinsman redeemer. What does that mean to us? I know people say it doesn't. We kind of have an idea what that means, what it doesn't mean. Ruth goes and lays down at the feet of Boaz at the threshing. I said it was neat getting to read some of the notes. They said that the laborers would have been doing all the sowing and the reaping, and he would have been doing the threshing. Right, so here he is sleeping. Can you imagine a huge harvest? Here's all the food. He's sleeping there, you know, and he wakes up in the middle of the night. And can you imagine that? What would you do if you woke up in the middle of the night and there's a girl at your feet? It wouldn't be in your bed. Whoa! Who's that? Who are you? They don't have flashlights. It's me. Okay, so what's happening here in verse 10? Let's see here. Oh, okay, we'll read. Esther, would you read 9 and 10 for me?
Mm-hmm. In the same chapter?
Yeah.
Okay. Thine eyes be on the feet.
Oh. And he said.
Chapter 3.
Okay. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she said, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy ring over thy handmaid, for a kinsman thou art." And he said, "Blessed be thou of Yah, my daughter, for thou hast made the last chesed better than the first, and not following after young men with a poor or rich."
Boaz just mentioned two chesed's. The last chesed is better than the first. Now what we're going to see next is we're going to see Boaz manifesting like chesed in verse 12. Because what does Boaz do? It appears that she's very beautiful and Ruth has options. He goes, "You could have went to these other guys." And then Boaz goes, "There's a closer kinsman redeemer." But what's going on here? And he's going to say there's somebody else that's closer, and Boaz doesn't have to necessarily do what's right? But he goes, somebody else is supposed to marry him. But why is somebody else supposed to marry Ruth? What is all this? And the key to these two chesed's, the first, the first chesed was Naomi honoring her dead husband by doing what? Taking care of her dead husband's wife. Mother, excuse me. The mother let him off the hook, right? You guys ever had that where somebody says, "No, you don't owe me." You go, "No, I'm paying you no matter what." You guys ever experienced something like that? "No, I don't want it. Please. Please take it." Actually, Abraham did that when he bought the lot for his wife to be buried. They didn't want the money. He goes, "No." David also with the threshing floor of Onan when he's going to do the temple. The guy goes, "You can have it free." He goes, "No, I'm going to pay for this." And in this case, she says, "You're free. You don't have to go." But with Ruth had chesed for her husband. She had a covenant that she was still honoring the dead. And Yahweh specifically points out in verse 20, then in here, Boaz knows about the first chesed of her honoring the dead husband. What's the last chesed? And if you go over to verse chapter 4, verse 5, and this is now Boaz is talking. He's talking with the. This is after the kinsman. He finds out who the closest person is. Will you act as kinsman? He won't act as the kinsman. He's not going to marry Ruth. Why? Verse 5. Then said Boaz, "What day thou takest over the land?" Excuse me. The first guy isn't out of the picture yet, so he's still supposed to marry Ruth for some reason, and Boaz is going to present it in a very wise way. He was very smart how he did it. You can imagine. Israel just finally turned a corner, right? And now he finds a righteous woman. He want to hold on to that, right? But he's not going to lie. And in the day that I take over the land from the hand of Naomi, also of Ruth the Moabitess, wife of the dead, dost thou take why? Who wants to read the next part? Go ahead, Ruth or Esther.
Then said the king.
No, to rise.
To rise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
That is this the latter Hesed. Why is Ruth marrying Boaz? To honor her dead husband, to keep his name alive. What kind of woman is Ruth? And we haven't even gotten into the definition of Hesed yet. She's going to marry an old guy. Why? I made a commitment to my dead husband. She's still going to... And where is this even going? Does she have to do these things? In her mind, it's not even an option. I made a commitment. I have a covenant. I have an obligation. And who's watching all this? Oh, who's going to become the great-grandmother of King David? This woman. I was listening to Dad's teaching. It was like lesson 15 on the journey through the Word of Yahweh. Why did it take Jesus Christ so long to be born? 4,000 years waiting for him? Dad mentioned Yahweh is looking for the right circumstances. Who was this woman? She's a Moabitess. Wow. Is that a woman that has a covenant? Yeah, we see that with marriages or something like that where somebody's not doing their job, but this other person does their job no matter what. You're going to go, what kind of person does that? And you see, and obviously, you know, and Boaz ends up marrying her. They have a son. I think it was Obed. Obed has Jesse. And then Jesse has David. And what do grandparents love to do? Spoil grandkids. Who would have been King David's grandfather? Obed. You want to talk about it? David, I see you chasing some girls here. Come here for a second. I need to tell you about the real women you need to be looking after. Not those girls. Not those girls. Stay away from those girls. What girl are we going to talk about, Grandpa Obed? I'm going to tell you about my mom. And you start finding about the Hesed. Now, what is this word Hesed? It's the Hesed, the loving kindness. We'll turn to Psalm 63. So that is the Hesed of Ruth. Psalm 63, page 560. Page 560, Psalm 63:3. Actually, you don't even have to go there. Psalm 63:3 through 5.
Never.
You haven't done 63:3 through 5? Okay. Mel, would you read chapter or verse 3? Chapter 63, verse 3. Remember, loving kindness is Hesed.
Because better is thy Hesed than life. My lips aloud shall praise thee.
What's better than life? Yahweh's Hesed. His Hesed. We just read about Ruth's Hesed. That's from pretty neat Hesed. It's a covenant. And what is, I guess the melody of David says up there, but it goes, Hesed is better than life. Jeremiah 9:23, page 724.
Now they know this one.
Okay, who knows this one?
Knows what?
Okay. Well,
thus saith God, let not the wise man glory his wisdom, he that the mighty man glory his might, let not the rich man glory his riches, but in this let the glory and glory. And having tells us in me that I am I. Executing has said justice and righteousness in the earth. But these things I delight, declareth Yahweh. Jeremiah 9:23-24.
Yeah, that's it, man. No pressure, man. Don't glory in how wise you are, Einstein, how mighty you are, maybe Dwayne Johnson, whoever it is, how rich you are, people like Donald Trump's very righteous, Warren Buffett. These are all the things we think. What impresses Yahweh? Not your might, not your wisdom, not your riches. He says, glory... Let the glory one glory in having intelligence and knowing me, that I am Yahweh, executing Hesed, justice and righteousness in the earth, and in these things I delight. What does he delight in? Hesed, justice and righteousness. You want to make him happy? Hesed, justice and righteousness. And we're going to find out Hesed is your covenant. Are you doing your covenant with him? Doesn't matter what words come out of your mouth if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Parents, teach your kids the word. Memorize the word. Covenant to prophesy, do these things. If we're not doing them, the idea is, okay. Now, all of us have areas that we need to be cleaned up. It need to be worked on, but the idea is, work on it. What does Yahweh want from us? He wants chesed, justice, and righteousness. And in those things, he delights. Hosea 6:6, page 863. Hosea 6:6, page 863. For chesed I desired and not sacrifice. What is chesed? I'm just kind of giving you guys an idea. I really haven't defined it quite yet. It's your obligation to him, your covenant. What did you promise him? What is expected of you? Can you imagine, here's a father, a husband, and what is expected for a Christian man that has kids? What's expected of him? To do what's right. Be a good example to your kids. You're going to mess up. Repent. Apologize, right? That's what's expected. And so what does Yahweh want? He wants us to do what's expected of us according to the scriptures. Not in sacrifice. And the knowledge of Elohim more than ascending sacrifice. So here's this word has said. Now, here's going to be, let me see how I got this. The word has said is used about 248 times. If you want to find out what it really, it's like somebody, I used to know a girl that she didn't like jewelry. She was kind of unusual in high school. She liked other things. It was weird. But the guy she was dating would always buy her jewelry. She'd act all excited, but everybody that really knew her, but she doesn't like jewelry. She likes other stuff, but he kept giving her. We know what Yahweh wants from us. He loves chesed. Some people love chocolate. You like guns. Your dad's going to bring you a gun. We know what people want, the people we love. What does Yahweh want? Justice, righteousness, and chesed. He really likes chesed. And what Ruth gave him was incredible. We're going to get to meet that girl someday.
Yeah.
And her dead husband is going to get to read what happened. How neat is that reunion going to be? You did it? You really did it? You did all that? And her poor sister-in-law, if she's there, going to go, boy, what did you do? My mother-in-law said I could go. I mean, not to pick on her, but the idea is, wow. The story we're doing right now is going to be on some sort of video or something. People are going to get to watch. Every act of obedience matters. In fact, obedience and selfishness, when nobody sees, is probably some of the best there is. Because that's going to him. Picking up other people's messes, taking on the chin, keeping your mouth shut, that's my weakness. But doing those things, and when nobody sees, they're even better. You can look up to him and you go, you got that, right? He's going to say, yeah, I sure did. And somebody's going to get to watch your movie someday, or read your book, just like we did Ruth. Ruth didn't know we were going to be reading about these things. Here is, his name's Nelson Glulick, and here's going to be, in 1927, Nelson Glulick, shortly preceded by, this guy's a German, L. Bogen, published a doctoral dissertation in German, translated into English, has said in the Bible, with an introduction. The introduction's garbage. If you get the book, rip out the introduction. His views have been widely accepted. In brief, Glulick built on the growing idea that Israel was bound to its God by covenants. How is that even a growing idea?
Yeah.
It was a growing idea. Like the Hittites and other treaties. He held that Yahweh is pictured as dealing basically in this way with Israel. The Ten Commandments, as an example, were stipulations of the covenant. Israel's victories were rewards of keeping the covenant. This is his new ideas?
Yeah.
It sounded like somebody said, we found the book of the law! Yeah. And all the theologians and the religious people, Jesus Christ says, where's the leaven going to be? The scribes and the Pharisees, they're not going to like this. He's going to say, there are stipulations. There are stipulations. If you keep the covenants, you get the rewards. Those are your victories. Her apostasies was covenant violations of Yahweh's has said. Then he goes on, he's going to explain, this is who this guy is. And so you get to read that and go, yeah, there's a new idea. That's just the word. Now here's going to be a brief. Let's see. Yeah, we'll do this and then we'll look at another one. So here's some notes just from the book. This guy explaining a Hebrew word. So King David was 1000 BC. So that's 3000 years ago. Okay? So we're talking about a Hebrew word, about 3000 years old. Okay? And this guy's going to be explaining. It's actually older than that. Let's see some of the notes. What is this said? It is only used by people with a definite relationship. If you don't have a relationship with me, there is no chesed. Yeah. And this is me. Have you ever not had a relationship with Jesus Christ and then you started demanding things? Hey! Where are you? If you're in control, why did they die? Well, who are you, Aaron? I've had friends on Facebook who use Facebook to stalk people. And I haven't blocked them because I think Yahweh says, let them glean. And the only reason why they're on Facebook is to track people and to find out what they're doing. I don't understand it. I send them things. I try to encourage them. They never send anything. But they always know what I'm doing. They always know where I am, though. You know, I'm like... And then after a year or two, they'll post one thing and ask for my comment. And I look at this. Wait a minute. I've been sending you stuff. You never liked one picture, not one thing of encouragement for 3 years. And you're using it to spy on me. And now you post something and you want my comment. Is there a relationship between me and them? No. There's no relationship. So I have to pray about those. Chesed is your duty. It's an entitlement. You're entitled to it. Welfare is not an entitlement. But chesed is. If you did your job, I am entitled to these things. Even that dead guy who died, according to the word, when he got married to Ruth, he was entitled to have his mom taken care of. Chesed, let's see here. Chesed saves Rahab the harlot. What? Rahab the harlot saved their life. What did that do? It started a covenant. You owe me. I'm going to save you. And were the Israelites, were they, I'm trying to think of the right word, honorable? They're supposed to be. And they go, we are honorable. And we will pay you back. And it was the chesed of Rahab that saved her, and Rahab's also in the Christ line. Let's see here. And there's other words that are going to be affiliated with. Ger is another one. Let me see. Whoever did not act in accordance with chesed was expelled from the family or alienated. Can you imagine that? You met like Donna, coming and taking care of me when I'm sick, right? My eye surgery. I don't need anybody help. I said, I don't know what's going on here. She came over and took care of me. If she needed help and I snubbed her, what's honorable according to Yahweh's word is the rest of my family should say, you better answer up. What's going on here? This woman's been there for you. She did something. You owe her. I'm going to come back into this one, but the bereath is a covenant which has said, this is what Jonathan and David had. And if you broke it, it could have been punishable with death. Chesed is mutually obligatory. Mutually obligatory is chesed. You know what obligated means? It's not an option. Go to bed. You're going to school. No, you're obligated to go. And what we're going to find out is with Yahweh, he says, I love chesed. And he's got so many promises to us. And if we're doing what his word says, guess what? You're entitled to these things. Get it? You own it. And it changes everything. Because if I make a house payment on my house, do I thank the bank once a month for letting me stay in this house? No. It's expected. Now with Yahweh and with Yahweh and his son Jesus Christ, we always want to be very honorable, right? He does not like a prideful heart. But the idea is, I have done your word, I have obeyed, I have established, I have done these things, this is in the mail. And that's actually what it is. That's faith. Yahweh loves it. Let me see here. Practicing is said, it's only those who practice is said should be able to receive is said. There's a word hasid, H-A-S-I-D. Hasid is H-E-S-E-D. Hasid is a person that is actually practicing hasid. So here's a person that comes and starts demanding something from you. You're not a hasid. I mean, that's how I would use it. Let me see here. In everyday life, hasid was a reciprocal conduct expected in relationships between master and servants. See, Yahweh made promises to David that he would not take away his hasid from his son. And you see some of these relationships. I don't want you taking your hasid from me. How can I expect him to keep his hasid from me if I'm breaking these hasids?
Yeah.
You see these obligations, these would be requirements of our lives and our choices. If I don't want him to stop this, then I got to keep this lateral hasid. Are you keeping your promise, your covenants? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? If you're not, get doing it. And he's watching. Let's see here. And actually, this was another point. How could Ruth have expected Yahweh's hasid if she did not honor the hasid of her dead husband? I wonder how many other pictures, other stories are out there that the wonderful things didn't happen because somebody didn't keep honoring what they're supposed to do. Now we'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20, page 310. So this is this word hasid. This is what Yahweh, one of his top three things he loves. He loves it. Chapter 20, verse 11, and then this was one that used to always bother me. I listened to it, I never said anything, but it never really made sense. Ruth's always a neat love story anyways. You enjoy that one. But there's some stuff in here that happens with King David that at least... It didn't make sense to me. Saul is trying to kill David. Saul's son's name's Jonathan. And they have a great relationship. And David's trying to explain to Jonathan, your dad's trying to murder me. Jonathan's sticking up for his dad. And in verse 16, thus Jonathan solemnized a covenant with the house of David, saying, so let Yahweh require at the hand of enemies of David. And basically what they did is they went into a covenant here about what they're going to be doing. They're going to be taking care of each other. If you read through this, what's going to happen with two different kingdoms, normally what would happen is if David became the king, you should cut off all the seed of the rival king. No kids. Because it's just going to split again. And also, so in Jonathan's case, don't kill my kids when you become king. And David said the same thing. Don't kill mine. And that's just a part of it. I mean, it wasn't just, they had a good relationship. You don't tell your best friend not to kill my kids, but that's just a part of it. When King David's going to become a king. Let me see here. And you read the tension gets hotter and hotter through chapter 20. And we'll read over to verse 42 of chapter 20. And they're going back, they're talking about a covenant again between these two people. And who's writing these words? Yahweh is. He's telling us what these guys did. Then said Jonathan unto David, go in peace, remembering that we have both sworn in the name of Yahweh, saying, Yahweh shall be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed, and 10 times age abiding. We haven't said the word hasid yet, though, have we? And so there's a covenant there. And actually what Glulik points out, I think it's called a berith. I don't know if I'm saying that word right. Now I'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Page 329. Now what happens is we fast forward. Unfortunately, Jonathan never separates from his father, which he should have. And since he didn't, what happened to Jonathan? He dies. You know, it's really sad. Now, King David becomes a king in between these chapters. And chapter 9, verse 1. And here's David looking around, and David said, is there yet one left unto the house of Saul that I may show him for the sake of who?
Jonathan.
Who knows about this covenant? Between him and Jonathan. Yahweh. Just Yahweh. When they first promised these things, they're by themselves. Yahweh knew about this covenant. You know, so, and what is David doing? He's going to honor his chesed to Jonathan. And who's recording this?
Yahweh.
Yahweh is. And then as we read, they're going to find out. Now, I'll just kind of speed up. The guy's name's Mephibosheth. And here he is. He's a cripple. They find one. And he goes, okay, I'm going to establish a sed to... And actually, by the way, I led into this. Like, I kind of blew the whole story with this one. And they go, there is a Mephibosheth, and you can show him a sed. And they go find this guy. He's a cripple. You can imagine what he's thinking. He's the last line of King Saul. What's usually going to happen to him?
He'll get killed.
Yeah, this is it. He goes to the rival king, the king who his grandfather tried to murder over and over and over and over again, right? Can you imagine, in our case, what if Barack Obama summoned us? I want to talk to you. I don't know about that, buddy. But in this case, he's going to King David. And let's see here, they fetch him. He falls down face first and does homage. And verse 6, I'm just going to kind of speed up a little bit. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came in unto David, fell upon his face, and did homage. And David said unto Mephibosheth, he said, lo, thy servant. And David said unto him, do not fear, for I will indeed show thee
chesed
for the sake of Jonathan thy father, and will restore to thee all the land of Saul thy father, but thy table thyself shall thou eat at the table continually. And he did homage and said, what is thy servant that thou hast turned toward such a dead dog as I? Then came in and called for Ziba, Saul's servant, and they said unto him, all that pertaineth unto Saul and all to Saul's house give I unto the son of thy Lord. What bothered me about this is, do you think Saul's property was probably nice property?
Yeah.
Do you think it's vacant at this point?
No.
Probably not. And when I used to hear that, I'm going, hey, that's nice for Mephibosheth. But what about the people that are already on that land that own it? That took over it or whatnot? And according to the chesed, David has to do this. And I'm going to go, that just changes everything. It looks like David's being very generous with somebody else's property. Hey, give that estate to you. Oh, there you go. But no, this is chesed. So now we looked at David's chesed. And if David wanted Yahweh to keep his chesed, he better keep his lateral chesed. You do it. And if you do keep the lateral chesed, and it appears you don't have the results, get yourself excited. And then go out, get on your knees, and present your case. I've done this. I have done this. I have done this. I remained faithful. I remained faithful. I didn't quit. I didn't even want to do this, but I did it. And watch what happens. And look what Yahweh, look, you know what he does? He's looking on, this is chesed. This is a relationship. This is a covenant relationship that Yahweh wants with us through Christ Jesus. And you can imagine what kind of chesed is available to us because of Jesus Christ. We talk about the seed of Abraham. What is that? We're learning about the word chesed. And so now we learned there's Ruth's chesed, David's chesed. Now, King David's, or Yahweh's chesed. Who can read quickly for me? I better do an adult.
I'm with you.
Okay. Now we're going to hear about Yahweh's chesed.
I mean, do you want everybody to turn there?
No, you're just going to...
Okay, now look at Yahweh's chesed toward David in 1 Kings 11:12. Notwithstanding, in thine own days will I not do it for the sake of David thy father. Out of the hand of thy son will I rend it. 1 Kings 11:13. Howbeit, all the kingdom will I not rend away. One tribe will I give unto thy son for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem which I have chosen. In verse 34 it says, yet I will not take all the kingdom out of his hand, but will suffer him to be leader all the days of his life for the sake of David.
For the sake of who?
David.
Okay.
Whom I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes. In 15:4, but for the sake of David did Yahweh his Elohim give him a lamp in Jerusalem, by raising up a son of his after him, and by suffering Jerusalem to stand. In 2 Kings 8:19, yet was not Yahweh willing to destroy Judah for the sake of David, his servant, even as he promised him to give him a lamp for his sons all the days. In 2 Kings 19:34, thus will I throw a covering over the city to save it, for mine own sake and for the sake of David, this my servant. In 2 Kings 26, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and out of the hand of the king of Assyria will I deliver thee and this city. I will throw a covering over this city for my own sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Hezekiah had not had a son yet. David's seed would have ended here, but for the sake of David, my servant, Hezekiah's life was extended because of Yahweh's said. In Psalm 132:10, for the sake of David, thy servant, do not turn away the face of thine anointed one.
And so we'll just pause there for a second. David's going to get to watch this movie. Hezekiah is going to die. This is the end. The prophet comes. Get your affairs in order. You're going to die. The king Hezekiah turns to the wall. And he starts talking to Yahweh. Before the prophet leaves, he turns back and he goes, your life will be extended for the sake of David. David's going to get to watch that movie because of David. For David's sake. We look at, why did Judah not get carried away, these wicked people? Yahweh's chesed for David. What kind of relationship was that? And he keeps going on about Yahweh, but for the sake of David. Then you read about who is the most evil king of all Judah?
Manasseh.
Oh, yeah.
The most evil guy there has ever been. I was reading about him today. They said he basically, they're saying he basically became an Assyrian, is what they're saying. He just, child sacrifices, murdering, all these things, become like Assyrians. What did Yahweh promise King David?
A son.
A son. Christ was going to come through him, and then Manasseh gets carried away by the Assyrians, and you don't read about this in Kings. It's only in Chronicles. He repents at the last second. He finally turns, and after him, who was born? I'm not sure when Amon was actually born. He's a very short period. He was born Amon, so then he dies. Amon is born for 2 years. He dies, and who's next?
Josiah,
pretty neat king, right? Who's chesed? And in my opinion, I bet you Manasseh wanted to die. I bet you he was being tortured to death. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't die. Nothing would kill him. This guy won't die. And I believe it was Yahweh chesed going, now you're not going anywhere. You see that where people wanted to actually die. The crucifixion were people that wanted to die. And here's Yahweh chesed for his servant. How loyal was David? Who else does Yahweh point out like that? And then look at David's life, what he did for Jonathan, and go, man, how compassionate. Why was Israel spared David? And Yahweh has said, and his providence, you see that, and today they go, I made a promise. We'll say that. And so, and chesed is not a promise, it's much more than that. And chesed can be a reward, and that's where we get the word mercy. Can it be a reward? Yeah, I got chesed with my father right there. Yeah, he's giving me a lot more than I've given him, but there's a relationship here, and that can be a reward with it, and that's what Yahweh loves, a covenant relationship. And what we're going to turn right back to 2 Samuel, page 329, which is neat when you're reading this, and I'm only like one third through the book. The commentators hate this guy and his book, and if you go to look up this word, you know what they don't like? Well, we don't agree with this guy's new idea on a covenant God. They don't say it that way. But they're going, but to say that Ruth did it out of obligation, that just ruins the whole thing. This is what the commentaries are saying. It ruins their story. Sounds like the traditions of men. You're ruining the whole thing. There's 3 kings at the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
No, there was not. And so if you actually read, people try to go in the word and said that this word has been hidden. How important is this word? What page?
329.
Okay. Now, before, in chapter 9, when we read about David's chesed for Jonathan, just take a look to the left. Chapter 7, verse 15. Right before we read that, David goes to the prophet. He goes, I want to build a house for Yahweh. Nathan says, do all this in your heart. Yahweh talks to Nathan and says, go tell David you're not going to build a house. Isn't that neat? Have you guys ever had that where you went for a prophecy about something? And Yahweh goes, we're not going to talk about that. Here's what we're going to talk about. What? Okay. I really want to know about a mortgage payment, but you know, whatever it is. But here's the whole thing. And Yahweh tells King David, verse 14, he's talking about David's son. I will become his father. It's a dual purpose prophecy about David's son Solomon and another son who's going to come, the perfect son. And I will become his father and he shall become my son. If he committed an iniquity, then will I correct him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. Isaiah, please read 15.
Okay, but my chesed shall not depart from him, as I caused it to depart from Saul, whom I caused to depart from before thee.
Right there, you can say, David, do you think David understood chesed, relationships, of being a man of his word? And Yahweh says, my chesed will not depart from him. And that most likely was based off of because of David's chesed. He remembered everything I did. He saw everything I did. And David falls down on his feet and says, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Not just because of that chesed, but Yahweh remembered everything that David did. And the chesed will not be withdrawn. Which is important because the chesed does get withdrawn. It did get withdrawn from Saul. Why? It's reciprocal. Later on, when David flees from Absalom, and Mephibosheth, who just inherited all this stuff, doesn't follow David, David goes back and goes, what's up, man?
You broke the chesed.
And Mephibosheth comes back with an explanation. And David goes, thin ice. But okay. And so David still honored his chesed to Jonathan. But what's neat about that is, look, right here is Yahweh talking about his chesed to David's son. David starts crying. What is David thinking about in the next chapter? His own chesed. A vertical chesed. You ever had that where you're just overflowing with joy because of what Yahweh's done? Now I want to look to somebody else. Who can I bless? And what does he do? He looks back to Jonathan and boom. And Yahweh wrote all this stuff. Now how neat is that? And he's writing your life right now. He's writing my life. No, we're writing, excuse me. He's recording. And at the resurrection, all the bad stuff's going to get wiped out. There's going to be something in there to keep it colorful. But every act of obedience will matter. And every act of obedience you're doing right now, you can fall down your knees and go, hey, I've been doing my job. And you can look at... there's another one I heard about a healing. He said if you're confessing scriptures of healing over your body, you're not getting the results you think, double the dosage. Amen. Take some more and do it with more gusto. Because isn't that what you do with regular medicine? Take some more. If an aspirin didn't work, take three or four. Double the dosage to get the results. And this is the type of relationship Yahweh wants with all of us. To where we go, I've been doing my job. Hey, I gotta sit down. No, have I? And then in the areas you messed up, you repent and you come back, and then you can go, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. I don't care what you guys say. I know him. I know what he thinks about chesed. This is what he loves. I'm on my rock. I'm not going anywhere. And he loves it. So here I am. And here this is. And this is what George Mueller fed thousands of orphans with every single day. And George Mueller did not start off as an orphanage. He was a minister trying to prove to people you can believe, you can have faith or certainty that Yahweh will meet all of your needs if you're doing your job. And he did it. And that's what we can do. And even if people don't see it, Yahweh sees it. And he will reward you and call him out on it. He loves it. Oh, you can imagine every once in a while my son, or I can see one of the grandsons calls my dad out. Hey, you said this. He goes, I'll be doggone, you're right. Here you go. You'd be a good one on that one. But he's honored by it. You remember his word, and here's the relationship. Yeah. This life is an audition, guys. How you handle and establish your covenants, your obligatory, reciprocal relationships is going to have a huge effect on the life to come. How did you handle these? We're getting ready. Samson's coming out Friday. What a sad, sad story from one aspect. But for 20 years, the guy's by himself. What a relationship this guy has with Yahweh. Wow, isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. Well, I'll give a prophecy for the crowd. Yeah, we thank you for your word. And that we can take your word, because it is worth more than the weight of our earth. And your worth is heavier than anything that is imbalanced in any scales. It doesn't matter what the balances say. When we take your word and your oath, what you promised, we thank you for your son. That as we meditate on Romans 8:32, he at least, his own son, did not spare, but in behalf of us all, delivered him up. How shall he not also with him all things upon us in favor bestow? We thank you that you are a God of chesed and covenants. We thank you for these words. Don't stop believing. Don't stop confessing. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop smiling. Don't stop laughing. For Christ is inside you, and you have the fruit of the Spirit. You need to tap into the joy that is inside you. Christ is inside you. He has the faith inside you. So tap into it. Release Him by speaking and believing, by singing songs of praise. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're up against. Look, compared to the Word, there is no situation, there is no circumstance that He can't handle and His words can't handle. The question is, can you hang in there? Stand for the course. Do it for Him. He's worth it. He's good for His word. And if you don't do it for yourself, do it for everybody else who's watching. Okay.